7 lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You could email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. You can tweet me at Bruce Salin, and you can stay in the loop by signing up for my newsletter on the homepage at brucesalin.com. It is time for Teen Wrap with Pastor Drew Sams, who has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 6 years. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California, and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew, and first thing I want to know.
Well, I will tell you about my son, 4 months old, and one day he is smiling, laughing, and on my wife's Facebook. I'll have to put it on mine. She just posted it. She's got a conversation with him for about a minute.
Oh,
asking
lovely.
Him about his day after. Remember last week I said I was a stay-at-home dad, and I was watching him? So she came home. She was asking my son, the four-month-old, about his day, and he was responding with the sounds that only a four-month-old could. It's really cute, so I'll have to tag you in it.
It's funny. That reminds me, I haven't thought of this in a very long time, when my older son, Arnie, who you know, of course, was around the same age, I was going through a work crisis, and I had to make a choice to quit a job or stay in an unpleasant situation and risk finding a new one. Mm. And as you know, my son, just like yours, was colicky the first 3 months. And so we were up all hours of the night, my then wife and I, taking care of him. And one night I was holding him and rocking him, and I started having this conversation with him, much like you described your wife, just basically asking him what I should do. And figuratively, he looked up at me and said, "Dad, I have faith in you. Quit this lousy job. You go for it." And I really like to believe that somehow he communicated that to me, and that's what I did, and things all worked out just fine. And you might have been being flip as far as your wife having a conversation, but you know something? That connection can be real.
Yeah, it was so special. It was so special.
So, truth.
Wow.
What is truth? And when is it appropriate to not tell the truth? I mean, I know, like, there's one example in the Bible, just to interrupt you before you even get to reply. There's one example in the Bible where they say if a killer or someone violent is chasing somebody down the street and passes you and says, "Which way did they go?" You're given permission to lie
and suggest
the other way.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know much about the Bible's stance on truth and the subtleties and the nuances of telling truth to our kids, to our partners, to our business associates, etc. So what's your take on all this?
Yeah, boy, what a great question. Well, I'll start with Scripture, and then I'll end with some experiences that I've had with truth, both the good and the bad. One of the verses that I love, it's actually in the Hebrew Scripture, Zechariah 8:16,
mm-hmm.
and there's a command. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. And so, you know, we see even throughout Scripture the commandments that were given through Moses and in other places, there's this constant refrain of to tell the truth. And I think that so often in life, we get ourselves in a lot of mess when we don't tell the truth, and then we try to cover it up by not telling.
Just creating more and more lies.
Exactly. And then you can't tell what's up from down and left from right. And I know for me, that always ends poorly. But one of the things that a friend told me a couple years ago, and I love this image, he said, "Drew, imagine if a surgeon went in to do heart surgery and the only tools they had were very blunt spoons and objects that were not sharp at all. It'd be a mess, wouldn't it?" I said,
"Gosh,
yeah, what are you talking about? I mean, that's an awful image, right?" He says, "You know, for a surgeon to do his job properly, to get in, to do what needs to be done, to get out without mess, it needs to be a very, very sharp instrument. Even now they're using lasers, you know, for surgery."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, he likened that to telling the truth. He says, when we tell the truth, we can either be very blunt about it, and can be very messy when you tell your wife when she says, you know, do I look good in this dress? Actually, no, you look fat. I mean, that's, maybe it's the truth, but it's very blunt. It's going to be messy. But there are ways, and he said that like a sharp scalpel, to be able to go in and to do work that needs to get done in someone's life. And to be able to do that takes a lot of skill, takes a lot of grace and humility to speak that truth. And I love the phrase, speaking truth in love, or speaking truth with grace. But boy, I've gotten myself in a lot of trouble speaking the truth. Because it came across very bluntly.
Are you referring to your wife?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I can't imagine you've gotten in trouble on the pulpit speaking the truth.
No. And it's interesting. I think there's certain settings where truth is more acceptable. In a private one-on-one conversation with a friend, I think is an appropriate place to speak truth into his life, an area that maybe he asked about. But maybe it wouldn't be true. Well, I know it wouldn't be a good setting, let's say, at his birthday party in front of all of his friends and family.
Right,
you know?
Right. It's called discretion and common sense.
Exactly. And I think that...
Also knowing the person.
Exactly. And I think sometimes, too, when trust is built in a relationship, it creates the foundation for truth to be spoken. Some people think, oh, you know, I should just be able to tell the truth to anybody I meet. But if there's no relationship, no trust built, no relational capital, it can usually end a relationship very quickly.
You know, it's funny. I have a very micro example of this. As you know, I do Dad Chat every Thursday night. And tonight, in fact, we're going to be talking about truth. And I have a regular that comes to Dad Chat who lives in England. And I call her my groupie. She just is a gigantic fan of everything I do. I mean, I've never talked to her on the phone. I've only exchanged some emails with her, and she comes to Dad Chat. And she behaves in Dad Chat, in the tweet chat, or has behaved in a way that's not considered exactly the right netiquette, which is the word that's being used. It's nothing horrible, but something that, and because she's been so loving to me, I didn't know how to tell her, and I didn't want to tell her. Finally, I just wrote her an email, and I really was careful about writing it in as apologetic and kind of way as possible. And what was the response I got? Great appreciation. Why didn't you tell me this sooner? I respect you so much, Bruce. And yet, I just agonized over telling her. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Mm. And so, again, it's how we deliver.
It sure is. And timing, like you said, in addition to the setting, is key. And sometimes, too, as that euphemism goes, the truth often hurts because sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. Let's say you are in a pattern of life or in a relationship that isn't healthy and somebody acknowledges that or points that out, even in a loving way, you can react in a very negative way to that truth because it hurts. Because let's say it's become so part of who you are and what you're about. And I think that it's important for us, let's say with parents to their kids, that if we do speak truth in a loving way, if the kids react in a way that we don't want, to continue to be patient and to move through that season while they're upset at you, because it'll help them in the long run.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. Dennis Prager was talking on his radio show today about the whole idea of a parent as a buddy is just wrong. That's not our job. They have their friends. Your relationship with your child is not buddy-buddy. It's parent. He calls it vertical. And we can't be their buddies. We have to tell them the truth. And that's much different than a spouse or friends. So obviously this whole issue is quite complicated. Listen, we're almost out of time, as it always goes by so fast with you. Are you blogging?
Not yet. But
so where can our listeners find you?
Well, unfortunately, just Facebook right now. You can look up Surfer Drew.
All right.
I need your help to get my blog back going. I've made a mistake, and it's broken.
Well, if I can, I would love to help you. Just one quick question. Have you been surfing since Judah's been born?
I'm going tomorrow morning.
Good. First
next
time?
Next week I'll tell you about it. So okay. This is actually the second time.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Because you need to take care of you, too.
I do.
All right. Thanks, Pastor Drew. We'll be back with Dr. Jennifer Weberman after these messages.